Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, New England. Welcome back to another episode of the Grace Curley Show. Happy Wednesday. We are halfway through the week and nothing is slowing down. So let's get right to it. Starting off this show, the breaking news about Bernie Madoff. He has died at 82 years old of natural causes. He was in Butner, North Carolina, the federal prison there. Most well known for orchestrating the largest Ponzi scheme in history. The entire story really broke in 2008. And it was wild. Everyone remembers it, or at least people who are old enough to remember it do. A lot of people, including some famous people, had invested a lot of money with Bernie Madoff. A lot of people were very upset. Some people actually committed suicide when they found out how much of their money he had lost. It was crazy. There's been so many movies and, you know, HBO, all those kind of networks have made movies about it, documentaries, I'm sure. So, yeah, he is dead. I think the New York Post has a headline, Burn in Hell, Bernie Madoff. I kind of feel like, and don't get me wrong, evil person, did a lot of harm to, you know, just because it wasn't physical harm doesn't mean that he didn't hurt a lot of people. But sometimes when somebody dies, it's like, maybe just say Bernie Madoff died. Maybe we don't have to go with the punny, you know, headline for that. So in other news, I want to talk a little bit here about Project Veritas, because they had a very interesting scoop yesterday. They actually exposed, once again, they exposed the corrupt media. Now, they're not telling us anything we don't know. We know CNN is crooked. We know MSNBC is corrupt. We know they're all Democrats. They are all activists pretending to be journalists. And if you can't see through it at this point, you probably have three masks on right now. So with that being said, CNN, their director, Charlie Chester, was caught on candid camera. And it's entertaining. He's it's frustrating. First of all, it should frustrate everyone that this is the level that people at CNN will go to. But like I said, it's everything we already know. We know they're biased. We know they're corrupt. And they're just confirming it because they can't even help themselves. Here's what I always figure. One time we had a VIP in here and he was asking me a lot of questions. And some of those questions were, oh, have you always been a Republican? What's it like working here? And for some reason, I just got a vibe. I said to him, is this like a reverse Project Veritas? Are you, you know, getting behind the scenes here? And I'm just always surprised that these people at CNN never think like that, never think, oh, this person might be trying to catch me off guard or whatever. But they're so arrogant and they're so proud of the propaganda and the deception that they're pulling on half the country that they can't help themselves. They got to brag about it. And that's exactly what this guy did. So to recap, his name is Charlie Chester. I've seen different reports. Some people say he's a CNN director. Some people say he's a CNN staffer. But he definitely had a big role at CNN. And let's start with, this is the one that made me laugh the most. Let's start with cut two, please, Jared.
I think we got him through this term. We would always show shots of him jogging. Him in aviator shades and like you paint him as a young geriatric.
A young geriatric. So he's talking about Joe Biden and he's describing how they would always frame him to be more youthful than he is. And that would include showing him biking, jogging, the aviator sunglasses. That has bothered me since he was vice president for Obama. This idea that he's like Maverick or something always drove me crazy. And then recently he came out in that leather jacket on the White House front lawn. And when I tell you, my eyes rolled to the back of my head. I hate all that stuff. I hate the media and the nuance they try to have when they're framing him as this all-American, wonderful, sprinting, spry guy. It always drove me crazy. And it's funny because I remember November 7th, I was flying back from Palm Beach and I was on the airplane and there was people with the face shields on, you know, they're leaving Florida, coming back to Boston. So they got to pretend again that they're really scared of the virus and they have their face shields on and we're all watching the TV. And the guy next to me, I'm writing my column, the guy next to me has CNN on and they declared Biden the winner. Then I get home later that night, I go out to eat and the TV has on. Remember that night, November 7th, where Biden and Harris came out on the stage and everyone was clapping. Harris had on the full white outfit. And when Biden jogged out, he didn't just walk out onto the stage. He jogged out. I had to get up from the table and take a lap because I thought I was going to scream. Because it killed me that people were buying this. The guy is a feeble old man whose mental capacity is dwindling. And there he is, jogging out onto the stage for some reason. And I don't know why it made me so angry. I literally, the Buffalo Tenders arrived and I stood up because I couldn't keep looking at the TV screen. And my family was like, you got to take a deep breath. I said, there he is, the damn fool. He's jogging out with all these people, with all their masks on. So to hear CNN saying we'd always show him jogging, I'm like, I knew that's what this was about. I knew that everyone was colluding to give the low info voters this idea that this guy could somehow run the country. It's Weekend at Bernie's. And it has been. And they knew about it. And they were the ones pushing the wheelchair over the finish line. And it's so frustrating to hear them openly brag about it. Let's play another one. This is him talking about getting Trump out. How proud he is that CNN got Trump voted out. Cut three.
Look what we did. We got Trump out. I am 100% going to say it. And I 100% believe it, that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have gotten voted out. I really don't think so.
This is the news. And I have to ask, my logical next question. Oh, by the way, he gives us, before I get to this, he gives us a sneak peek of what's up next. On the next episode of CNN, we can look forward to climate change. Cut one.
Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
Do you think it's going to be just like a lot of like fear, like climate?
Yeah, fear sells.
Remember when Susan Ferriccio was on with Brian Stelter? They were on a podcast, and she writes for the Washington Examiner. She's been doing this for like 30 years. And she was criticizing the mainstream media and CNN for how quickly they debunked the Hunter Biden story. And she brought up the Russia hoax. And Brian Stelter said, don't you dare. Don't you dare, Susan, act like we don't have ethics at CNN. So here's my next logical question. Brian Stelter has a newsletter at CNN. He's also the host of the hilariously named Reliable Sources. Will we be hearing about this on CNN?
There's no time for potato heads.
There's no time for potato heads, but there is time to talk about this level of propaganda that's being pushed from your network. Fair and balanced and, well, that's Fox's thing, but what's CNN's thing? Well, besides this is CNN, they have a lot of slogans. They constantly lecture us.
This is an apple.
On how they're the real journalists. So I want to know from Brian Stelter, when you take a break tonight from talking about what Trump's doing or, you know, asking Jim Acosta if he's still hiding in the bushes at one of Trump's golf resorts. Or if you're not too busy throwing pebbles at Tucker Carlson's window asking him when he's going to post a vaccine selfie. Are you going to cover Charlie Chester? That's what I want to know. When we get back, guys, we have so much more. I don't know if you knew this about Nancy Pelosi. You know she loves chocolate. You know she's a proud grandma. But did you know that Nancy Antoinette, as I like to call her, is also a street fighter? We've got all of that and so much more on the other side. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. I'm going to hold it up for the camera. And I love this because I like to cook in my house and sometimes, you know, smell a steak or chicken. It smells so delicious in the moment. And then like 2 minutes later, you're thinking, ugh, I got to get this out of here. You just turn on this machine and it really does clean and purify the air, and it leaves an odorless smell throughout the house, which is fabulous. But it also does a lot for allergies, right, Jaron?
It has been a lifesaver for me the past couple months. This weekend, especially, the trees started pollinating. So you get, whenever you go outside, you get the scratchy throat, the runny nose, all that stuff. And allergy medications do some stuff, but they don't get every symptom. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier actually ionizes and cleans the air in my abode, and I breathe like a king.
Right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE, and you will save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. With the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, your problem rooms will no longer be a problem. Very small device, very easy to use, and as you can see here, you just plug it into the wall. No air filters needed. It's a great, great buy, and this is a great price. We'll be back on the other side. We'll take some of your calls about this. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, by people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We just went over some of the Project Veritas scoop, which, you know, I'm not surprised, but I'm still angry. And I think that's the key to succeeding in this business. Nothing's going to surprise you at a certain point. The media is corrupt and they're terrible. But I still get very frustrated, nonetheless. I do want to talk a little bit here about Nancy Pelosi. Jared has an update on the situation with Kim Porter. Jared?
Yes.
Potter, I'm
Kim,
sorry.
Kim Potter, the officer who shot Dante Wright, will be brought up on second-degree manslaughter charges.
It's an interesting, it's a terrible case, obviously. She says that she meant to pull her taser. She pulled out her gun. There does have to be repercussions for when cops make these kind of life and death mistakes. I've read a lot of different pieces. I know people have so many opinions on this, but we'll keep following. We'll keep following it. We'll keep you updated. There's so much tension, and it doesn't seem to be, none of these arguments seem to be helping. None of the rioting seems to be helping. I can tell you that much, but we'll keep you guys posted. And if you want to talk about it, we will. Today's poll question is brought to you by Balance 7 Liquid Concentrate. Start sleeping better tonight and get the acid out of your body with Balance 7. Save $10 off your first order today and receive a free bottle of their Skin Smooth Spray with code word Howie. Free. You'll get that free at balance7.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which Democrat luminary do you trust the least? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, or Chuck Schumer?
Do we have Dr. Fauci in there?
Oh, we do not.
We got to add him. I consider him
operative. But no, yes, I'll put him
I
on
consider
the list.
Him a Democrat for sure. I'm going to say Nancy Pelosi. I am amazed at she sent Biden a formal letter to speak. You know, he hasn't done a joint address at all. And she's just so snake-like and she's so dishonest. And now she's saying, in true Mark Wahlberg fashion, she's saying that if the insurrectionists had confronted her at the Capitol, well, they'd be dealing with a street fighter. Ugh. So not only that, but she's a fake tough guy on top of it all. But Jared, I'm going to say Nancy Pelosi. What are the results?
Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama are tied at 24%. Kamala Harris in the lead at 29%.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
Joe Biden at 19 and Chuck Schumer at 5. Dr. Fauci has been added, but he's going to have some catching up to do.
Kamala Harris is next in line for the presidency, so it makes sense that people are incredibly paranoid about her. One thing I do want to say about the police shootings and the riots and things like that is that I find it amazing. I think there's a lot of conversations to be had about proper training for the police. And if anything, I think more money needs to be given to the police and not less. When these squad members come out and say, defund the police, that's what blows my mind, because it was just a couple months ago that these same people were telling us about how terrified they were at the Capitol and how they had to be escorted out. And they were thanking the Capitol police. And now, flash forward just a couple months, if they really feel that way, if they really feel like we need to defund the police, which is an extreme statement, you can have issues with the police and not say defund the police. But Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley, they say there's no ifs, ands, or buts. They need to be defunded. Well, then take the first step. Take the first step and refuse any sort of security, if that's really the road you want to go down.
Next time there's an insurrection, just call a social worker.
Exactly. Or a hippie. Either way. Let's talk a little bit here about this speaker slash street fighter, Nancy Pelosi. I got to hear this cut.
Round one, fight.
Do we have any sound of it, or was it just a quote?
It was a quote to USA Today. There's no actual sound of it.
Okay, so I should read the actual quote, and I guess I'm going to have to deliver the Nancy Pelosi voice, which you guys know I'm not afraid to do. Street fighter Nancy Pelosi says she would have fought off Capitol rioters with a crowbar. No, I'm just kidding. I added that last part in. Besides, it would have been a pro bar anyway. All right. So that's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi claimed the January 6th Capitol insurrectionists would have had a battle on their hands if they encountered her, declaring she is a street fighter.
Maybe she said battle axe and they misquoted her.
That's what we're setting out to do, Pelosi told USA Today. If they had, she continued, well, I'm pretty tough. I'm a street fighter. They would have had a battle on their hands. I've seen a lot of fake tough guys in my life. Okay, Donnie Deutsch, Andrew Cuomo, Joe Biden. Who am I missing? Chuck Schumer, even. A lot of these guys think they're pretty, pretty, pretty tough. But it's not every day you see a fake tough gal.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. We actually do have audio of Nancy.
Oh, awesome. Go ahead.
If that was me, I'm just saying, if that was me, they are lucky that was not me. Because if the circumstances were such as you have described them, but with me in them, that's a very different and scary outcome for those involved. If.
They would have had a battle on their hands. And this is part of what the media has done as well. They've amped up Nancy Pelosi, and now she's buying her own BS. There's only so many times Vogue can call you a boss, and Glamour magazine can say, you're slaying the game, girl, until you start going, I am a boss, and as a matter of fact, I'm a street fighter.
I think the best response was Juanita Broderick, which I can't remember the exact quote, but it was basically, all they would have had to do is dump a bucket of water on her. And she would have disappeared.
Juanita Broderick does not hold back on
Twitter.
She's savage.
I love her on
Twitter. She is absolutely savage. I love her as well. We have a lot more to get to. I do want to talk here about, speaking of Nancy Pelosi, this is what she said about Joe Biden. She said, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Tuesday issued a formal invitation to President Biden to address a joint session of Congress. nearly 100 days when you took the oath of office, you pledged in a spirit of great hope that help is on the way. Now, because of your historic and transformative leadership, help is here. Do you think help is here? I'm not so sure. He does say he has vaccines that are 100% effective. We'll get to that on the other side. Don't go anywhere. 844-500-4242. Lines are open, everybody. Let's talk. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
I think we got him through this term. We would always show shots of him jogging. Him in aviator shades and like you paint him as a young geriatric.
I can't even describe to you guys how frustrated that gets me. They would show him with aviator shades or riding a bike or eating an ice cream. And that's why he's president of the United States. That's how we got him. Ugh. But at least no more mean tweets. Just remember that. He's a young geriatric who's falling up the stairs to Air Force One and has nothing to say about anything. He took one question yesterday and then was hurried off by his handlers. And the question, even though it was just one, still... Don't underestimate. Remember what Barack Obama said? He said, never underestimate Joe's ability to bleep things up. That was one of the only true things Barack Obama said during his 8 years, because that is absolutely true. Listen to Joe Biden. He can help himself. I told you guys, he has this little twinkle in his eye when he sees the reporters where he thinks, I used to be a contender. I can take a question. They keep telling me not to take questions. When I'm backstage, they keep saying, whatever you do, don't take any questions. I'm going to take one. And it always ends in disaster. This is Joe Biden, cut 4.
On the vaccine, my message to the American people on the vaccine is, I told you all, I made sure we have 600 million doses of the MR, not of either Johnson & Johnson and or AstraZeneca. So there's enough vaccine that is basically 100% unquestionable for every single solitary American. Thank you.
Let's talk about that. Unquestionable. 100% unquestionable. That is a very dangerous game to play, because yesterday we had reports that Johnson & Johnson had 6 cases of women who experienced blood clots. I believe one of them passed away. Sadly, I'm not making light of that, but it was out of, I think, 7 million doses. I might have that number wrong, but it was out of a lot of doses. And I was talking to someone yesterday and they said, I said, well, Joe Biden says he is 100%, you know, unquestionable. And someone said, you can't even watch a commercial for like an allergy medication without them running through a list of things, blood clots, black liquid. Like, they always have these like kind of gross things that at the end, and then at the end they always say, or death. And plenty of people take them every day. Birth control pills. There's, I think, 1 in 1,000 women deals with blood clots when they get on birth control pills. Are we going to stop giving out? Then the left would have a real issue if we started letting people get birth control. Can you imagine? So you have to be careful about setting up this expectation, which I think a lot of people naively have about this, because everyone is so warped by this virus that they're forgetting basic common sense, which is no vaccine is going to have 100% anything. It's not going to be 100% safe. It's not going to be 100% effective. That's not how it works. So I guess we'll be stopping every single vaccine every time there's an unfortunate incident or reaction to it, which, like everything else about this administration, is completely insane. Bob from Braintree, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, Grace. How are you today?
I'm good. What's going on?
If you look into it, you're going to find out that Nancy Pelosi, first of all, the Speaker of the House is responsible for all security at the Capitol.
Right.
Responsible for it all. She can cause all the decisions. And if you were watch the footage, you saw that they were moving the gates and letting people go in and, you know, the whole nine yards. Now, first of all, if you've ever visited the Capitol, you couldn't bring a backpack in, a flagpole, anything like that. You had to go through a metal detector. Where were the metal detectors, number one? Number two, she had turned the gavel over to another congressman to be the speaker, and she hit the high road before that even hit the Capitol building. So,
yeah, and my entire issue with this narrative around policing is that, and I was actually talking yesterday to somebody on a podcast about this. I said, you know, talking about issues with the police, I do think it's important. And I do understand that people are frustrated. I get frustrated. I see that story about the taser, mixing up the taser and the gun. And I'm kind of thinking, what? These are trained people who are making these mistakes. But at the same time, I don't think it helps the conversation to say defund the police. I think it's unrealistic. I think it's insane. And I think who it would hurt the most are communities of black and brown people. They're the communities that are going to be harmed by that kind of deranged, radical policy. In fact, when I see that a police officer doesn't know the difference between a taser and a gun, and let me be perfectly clear, I'm sure, the majority of police officers are great men and women who are highly trained. But when you hear that, my first reaction is not, we need to take away money from the police. My first reaction is, we need better training for the police. They need to be more adequately prepared to handle this. And I saw a great argument, and I just want to put it out there, and I know it's going to frustrate some people, but there is an argument to be made that, yes, I understand when people say, well, if you get pulled over, you're supposed to do X, Y, and Z. But the ends can't justify the means. You can't say, oh, well, if he had only done this, then that wouldn't have happened. I don't really buy that, because the police are trained to handle intense situations. A regular civilian is not trained to do that. Should you stay calm? Should you keep your hands on the wheel? Should you do absolutely everything to lessen the stress on the police? Yes. But that does not excuse a taser slash gun mix-up. Not in my book. You can call in, you can argue with me about it. I mean, no disrespect to the police, but I do feel that way. I do think that reforms need to be made. There needs to be better training than this, and there probably should be more money given to the police so they can properly train their officers. Rob in the car, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Rob.
Grace, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry about that. I just got to get off the speakerphone. Hey, listen, instead of defunding the police, we got to defund the school systems. They're not teaching our citizens about civics and what their responsibility as a citizen, okay? And if they don't understand law enforcement, that's an education that we should have. Tired of talking about at the end of the story, we got to talk about the beginning of the story. Now, as someone who has a little bit of experience down in Washington, D.C., January 6th, Nancy Pelosi would be nowhere to be found, either with Steve Lynch or all the other fakers, okay?
Yeah.
So this is a bunch of nonsense, and I would say to the people out there, it's police training. They don't get a lot of bad, you know, like you talk about police training, you talk about firearm stuff, you'd be surprised how little they do get.
Yeah, and Rob, would you agree with me that they need to get more? I mean, I don't want to see these mistakes or these, you know, tragedies happen.
Well, the number one thing is if anybody resists arrest, that's an automatic 10 years, something like that. And this stuff with the lawlessness, you know, that's got to go too. And until people take a stand and people get up and defend themselves, the job of a law enforcement person is to enforce the law, not to protect you. So if you're waiting for the police to protect you, you're wasting your time. You got to protect yourself. As you well know, you have a license to carry, Grace. You get that for a reason. And I'm sure that you feel a little bit better about that, but you've got to train all the time. And it's always safety, 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 as you well know. But on the offense, it's about time that these people, we can't listen to people who don't care about us. These government people, they're a bunch of phonies. And if they want reparations, by the way, call Steve Lynch up. He's been at the helm of the plantation for a long time.
Well, my whole issue with the defund the police movement is I don't think it's an honest argument. I've even heard Obama say that you can't have defund the police. I mean, it's just too radical. And I agree with you about more training for police officers. And, you know, I also think that people should be taught the proper way to handle an interaction with policemen, but I cannot sit here and say that that means that if someone doesn't handle it properly, that a rogue police officer, this woman who clearly had no idea what she was doing, should be able to accidentally shoot somebody. You can call up and make any argument you want, but I don't buy that. That does not sit right with me. And I do understand where there's a disconnect with people and where people go, another story like this? Another story like this. Mike, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Grace.
Yeah.
Listen, this Johnson & Johnson poll. Look, this has got to be political. Look, Johnson & Johnson is a more popular deal because it's a one-shot deal. A lot of people were waiting for it. And I'll tell you what, it works. It's held at room temperature. You don't have to have it in a deep freezer.
Right.
And I'll tell you, everybody seems to forget that Pfizer, who is a real woke company now, held back 2 days after the election to announce that we had vaccines.
Oh, I
didn't want Trump to get credit for it.
I have not forgotten that, Mike, and Trump hasn't either. He wrote it in his latest, his latest statement, but he's probably had six since yesterday. But he did mention that. I mean, that tells you a lot of what you need to know. Amazon waited until a few days after to say, oh, we're going to help distribute this vaccine as much as we can. It's awful, you know, because you go through a pandemic, you'd hope people could put politics aside for 5 minutes if it meant, you know, if it was such a big deal as they claim it to be. But it wasn't that urgent that Amazon had to step in until their guy was in the White House. That tells you a lot. Armando, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Armando.
Hello, Grace. Okay. I just want to say, you know, the problem, it's not the problem, it's not the police. It's the people that will not, you know, they have to, you know, let go and say, okay, I'm arrested. I'm, you know, give in and say, you know.
Yeah, but Armando, and I don't want to interrupt you. I get what you're saying. And in a perfect world, everybody would do that. But do you understand why people say, how did this woman mistake a taser for a gun? She's a police officer.
You know what? Everybody makes mistakes. No, I disagree with you there.
Now hold on. I got to push back on this. And I know people are going to be listening and they're not going to be happy with me. I'm just being as honest as I can and I'm learning as I go. So if you have something to say and you think it's different, go ahead. But right there, that woman shoots that man and he's dead now. And you say, well, everybody makes mistakes. Okay. But then he drives away. That was his mistake. He made a mistake too. He should not have driven away when she was trying to arrest him. But neither of those mistakes in my mind justify somebody getting shot. Maybe I'm wrong. I would love for somebody to call in. I'm sure there's nuances of this. I do not understand. I'm not a police officer. But that I don't really get. We'll be back on the other side. I'll take more calls. Armando, I appreciate it. Anyone else who wants to call in, I'm sure people are angry with me right now. I know this is a touchy subject, but I'm going to work through this the best I know how, and that's just to tell you how I really feel. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us. Sometimes when there's issues that have to deal with things that are this controversial, whether it's race or, you know, the police, I get nervous. I tend to steer clear because I know that everybody's got such strong opinions. But now I'm realizing the phone lines just lit up. People like this. People want to talk about it. And I'm glad people feel comfortable voicing their opinion. So let's go right to the phone line. Scott, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Scott.
Grace, thank you very much. I'm a retired sergeant on a police department. Can you hear me? I'm a retired sergeant on a police department down here in the Cape, and I was a firearms investigator.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you, Scott. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, my phone's ringing. I was a firearms instructor. And what happened with that officer, the female officer, when you're in a fight or flight situation and you perceive the need for deadly force, the blood in your body leaves your extremities and goes to your core. Your hands start shaking. You may defecate on yourself or wet yourself. Your knees start knocking. You get visual and auditory exclusion. That means you get tunnel vision, and then your hearing becomes reduced. So what may have happened to her, for whatever reason, she perceived a threat, and she pulled her firearm instead of her taser, and she was unable to tell she had her taser because your body starts shutting down in those situations. Now, why she panicked on a warrant arrest, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what she perceived. She's got no business ever being a police officer again. If she panics that much in a situation like that, she's got no business being a police officer. You know, did she murder the guy? In my opinion, no. You might have a case for involuntary manslaughter. I think it was a horrible, horrible accident, you know, on her part. But it's human nature. There's certain physiological processes that happen to the human body in those kinds of situations that no amount of training can eliminate. You can, you know, work your way through it, maybe overcome it, but it's not foolproof.
And Scott, I think what's worth noting here is that you are a retired police officer, and there seems to be this notion that when a cop either does, you know, let's go to the Derek Chauvin thing, he first of all seemed to be a horrible person. I mean, if you watch the video, I would venture, I don't think he was a good guy. But then you have this woman, who I know nothing about, who you say made a mistake. But there seems to be this narrative that, you know, people who support police are defending them blindly. But you're here saying this woman had no business being a police officer.
Well, in hindsight, looking at, you know, I would say going forward, I would say she's got no business being a police officer from this day forward. You know, I don't know what her career was like. I know nothing about her. But, you know, if you get to that point of blind panic and you react the way she did, there's an issue there. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what her perception was, you know. And her perception may have been quite different from that of her fellow officers there on the scene. You know, but she perceived some kind of threat. She was perceiving, I don't know. But she went into panic to the point where she wasn't able to
do her job properly. Scott, I so appreciate the call. Thank you so much. I want to try to get one more in. Baxter, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. What's your take, Baxter?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Grace. I'm a retired police officer also, and what I would like to know is, this was a 26-year veteran police officer who, this traffic stop, she was a field training officer. So number one, you know, why did they make the stop? They ran a plate. It was an expired tag. So you've got to train the trainee. So, you know, you're doing this traffic stop. In the course of it, they find out that there's a warrant. And what's the warrant for? It's for a gun assault. So everybody is communicating before they take this gentleman out, you know, what's going on here. And she is focused as a field training officer. Now, my question is when, just because she's 26 years doesn't mean she's been trained with the taser for 26 years. The taser could have come online with training in their department just recently.
Right. And Baxter, just to your point, it doesn't mean that she's been consistently out there. They might have, you know, needed somebody out there fast and they put her out on the job without, you know, retraining her. These are all great points. I think it brings back the point, we don't know everything about this case yet. We'll be back on the other side. We'll take more calls on this. People seem interested. 844-500-4242.